In Parshas Vayeshev, we find the rear trop, the shalsheles. This uncommon note appears only 4 times in all of the Torah, and it's found on the word Vayimayin, and Yosef refused. After his brother sold him into slavery, he ended up in the house of the promiscuous Ashes Potiphar. She continuously tries all types of methods to seduce him. And the Torah testifies, Vayimayin, Yosef continuously rejected her, and he would not succumb to her advances. However, the Gemara relates that one day, Mrs. Potiphar and Yosef were finally alone in the house. And Yosef felt that he could not resist her attempts anymore. And his resolve was about to break. He was on the verge of surrender. But suddenly, Yosef saw the mist Yuknoshel Aviv. He saw a reflection of his father's image, and that gave him the courage to withstand his desire and temptation. And the question is, what was it about the image of his father that gave him the strength to withstand her relentless attacks? If you think about it, there was nothing really to hold him back. He was abandoned by his family, sold into slavery by his own brothers, a 17-year-old kid in a foreign decadent country. No one would have ever held him accountable for his actions. No one would have ever known. There were no cameras, no internet, no social media. This wouldn't even affect the ability of any of his family members of getting into yeshiva or seminary. So what ultimately gave him the resolve to resist? What gave him the strength to say, Vayimayin, and I refuse, with the emphasis of the shalsheles? So we know that the shalsheles is shaped like a chain. It connects to something that preceded it. So let's look back to the previous time the Torah mentions the word Vayimayin. And we find it after the brothers sold Yosef, they dipped his kesonis pasim, a special coat, in blood, and they told their father Yaakov a wild beast devoured him. Yaakov Avinu immediately plunged into a state of grief and despair. The Torah says, Vaikimu kalbanav v'chalbanoisav lanachmai. All of his sons and daughters came to console him. However, Vayimayin leisnachem, he refused to be consoled. As the Aruch Haim HaKadosh, Yaakov Avinu was sitting shiva for his favorite son. His other 11 sons came over to try to be Menachem Avilhem. So what exactly did his sons tell him? What words of Nechama did they use to comfort their father? The Torah doesn't record their dialogue. We would think this is such vital information. What words should be used to comfort someone that just lost a child, Rahman al-Islam? Why doesn't the Torah record it for posterity? Says the Aruch Haim, you know what they told him? They actually told him nothing. They were all sitting around their father, and they were imploring him, look around at the rest of your children. Look, we are all following your Torah values. We are all Sharma Torah mitzvahs. We are all flourishing and successful and thriving. They implied, granted Yosef has abandoned the path of Yiddishkeit, but look around. 11 of your 12 children are doing great. One child is OTD. 11 out of 12. That's not a bad percentage. But Yaakov would not hear of it. They say in business, you're only as strong as your weakest link. As a parent, you're only as happy as your least happiest child. Yaakov told his 11 sons, you're claiming that Yosef has lost his way. He's somewhere far away from Yiddishkeit. However, I refuse to believe it. I still have confidence in him that he has not abandoned our principles. Says the Shem Yishmuel, the two Vayimayins are intrinsically linked. You know what gave Yosef the strength to conquer his desires and the courage to say Vayimayin, I refuse to give in? The previous Vayimayin, Vayimayin leisnachem. Yosef felt the trust and the confidence his father had in him. And when your father does not stop believing in you, you never stop believing in yourself. The Vayimayin of Yaakov enabled and empowered the Vayimayin of Yosef. What an incredible idea from the Shem Yishmuel. Once read an incredible story by Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, Zechar Neruracha. He said, I once served as a rabbi in a congregation. There was a lot of schmoozing during davening. Once during Shabbos davening, I rose to give a speech after Kriyas HaTorah, and the noise was deafening. I tried multiple times to get the crowd to be quiet, but to no avail. So I decided to call it quits. I sat down and we continued on to Daven Busuf. A few days later, one of my congregants shared with me this amazing story. He told me, my son suffers from a severe case of cerebral palsy. One of his great delights was to come to Shul Shabbos morning and watch you give your weekly Shabbos sermon. My son cannot hear the words or understand them, but he loves watching you lift and wave your hands, alter your facial features, run around, jump and scream, raise your voice, lower your voice, and get excited while you speak. He wasn't always able to attend, but that Shabbos morning, my son indicated to me that he wants to come to hear the speech. It took me 45 minutes to bring my handicapped son to shul. And we live just right across the street. But for us, it was a 45-minute journey. As we entered the shul, my son was so excited to see that you were just about to begin your speech. We sit down, and his face was beaming, smiling from ear to ear, waiting with anticipation for your great presentation, which would keep him involved and inspired and elated. I could see how overjoyed he was. But then seconds later, you sat down, and you refused to continue speaking due to the noise. My son was let down. He was distraught. He was deeply disappointed. I walked him back home another 45 minutes, and his eyes were downcast. You ruined this week. The father tells me, Rabbi, you made a big mistake. You thought you were talking to those who listen and understand. You missed the point. You were talking to a child with cerebral palsy who just wants to see your lips moving and your hands swaying. What a story, but what a lesson. We never know how we touch our children. We think we are accomplishing something by giving them a speech, when in reality, they are really just watching our every step, how we act, how we talk, how we behave in certain situations. They are waiting to emulate our every move. They're waiting to see if we trust them or if we have confidence in them. And just like Yosef HaTzadik, if we believe in them, they will believe in themselves. And now, we know. Have a wonderful day.